This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson.
Okonkwo was well known throughout the Nine Villages and even beyond. His fame rested on solid personal achievements. As a young man of 18, he had brought honor to his village by throwing Almalinza the cat.
Before 2008's over, we wanted to remember a big event in the history of literature. 50 years ago, Things Fall Apart was published. It was the first novel by a black African writer to become a huge international success, and it remains a bestseller year after year. Chinua Achebe's novel tells the story of an Igbo man in Nigeria struggling to uphold his village traditions as colonialism has radically transformed everything around him.
That was many years ago, 20 years or more. And during this time, Okonkwo's fame had grown like a bushfire in the Harmattan. He was tall and huge, and his bushy eyebrows and wide nose gave him a very severe look. He breathed heavily, and it was said that when he slept, his wives and his children in their houses could hear him breathe.
Chinua Achebe has lived in America for most of the last two decades, and he teaches at Bard College in upstate New York. Hello, Mr. Achebe. Thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
So now that 8-10 million copies of your first novel have been sold around the world, I wonder, when you wrote the book and you were in your 20s, you were a young man, what were your expectations? Did you think it would sell beyond Nigeria?
No, I laugh because I didn't know anything about selling.
Uh-huh.
I know books were sold, but for me, it wasn't even guaranteed that it would go beyond the mere scribbling that I was doing. At the same time, it also seemed to me that I had a very, very important story that I needed to tell.
For those very few remaining Americans who have not read the book, how do you describe that important story that you had to tell?
Well, it is the story of colonial rule, one people imposing themselves on another people, who in this case happened to be the owners of the land. So you had a situation in which people come from somewhere else and say to the people they encounter, everything you do is wrong, your religion is wrong, you have no education, you have no culture. So it was that kind of situation, and it triggers by itself tremendous resistance.
Now, I presume Okonkwo is not very autobiographical, but I wondered if he was based on people that you knew as a young man.
No, there was nobody. No, my village was full of characters. So what I did was shut my eyes and pile all the negatives that I wanted to draw attention to on one person.
Okonkwo ruled his household with a heavy hand. His wives, especially the youngest, lived in perpetual fear of his fiery temper, and so did his little children. Perhaps down in his heart, Okonkwo was not a cruel man, but his whole life was dominated by fear. The fear of failure and of weakness. It was deeper and more intimate than the fear of evil and capricious gods and of magic, the fear of the forest and of the forces of nature, malevolent red and tooth and claw. Okonkwo's fear was greater than these. It was not external, but lay deep within himself. It was the fear of himself, lest he should be found to resemble his father.
Okonkwo, as you say, is flawed in his character and his morals. And in general, you take through him of this fairly critical look at traditional Igbo life. Did that cause trouble at the time?
No, I don't think so. I knew that there was a problem in any kind of self-criticism. But, we didn't make too much of it. I didn't make too much of it. perhaps because we were so giddy with joy at independence.
And is the state of Nigeria today as you imagined it would be?
Well, you got a very, very big question there. Yes, Nigeria is a total disappointment. We thought, as we secured independence, because we did succeed, there was one great success, that this arrangement of a foreigner coming and taking over could not stand. And then we looked forward to a future in which we would re-own ourselves. That was not what happened. So within a very short time, the whole thing seemed to be coming apart.
Mm-hmm. Which is, and in its tragedy and sadness, not unique in Africa. Rereading Things Fall Apart today, I can't help but think that you, there are foretellings of the problems in Nigerian culture, that one could almost see the problems that were going to not lead to a happy and content post-colonial future for Nigeria.
Yes. Without realizing it, I was already fearing the future.
Yeah.
And that's partly the Nigerian situation, but I guess it's also partly my nature. You see, I tend to be, you know, when people are expecting a happy event, for instance, shall we say Christmas is coming, and children are so happy about this, I tend to be unhappy because I'm thinking of the day after Christmas.
We have just, we are about to inaugurate a president whose father was Kenyan. Do you think that's going to make any meaningful changes in the way that the United States and Americans relate to Africa or vice versa?
Oh, I think it would, and I think it should, because it just didn't seem to be possible. The fact that it happened is a miracle. And Americans are entitled to feel really special that somehow this thing happened so quickly, so neatly.
Well, Americans are certainly used to feeling special, and
yes.
so it comes naturally to us, I think.
Yeah, I know. Well, this time I think it's well grounded.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
You are generally and repeatedly called the father figure for this generation or two of young writers from Africa. Do you like that sense of being the father to all these literary children?
You know, I keep resisting it. I fight it.
Why is that? Why do you fight it?
Well, because I don't feel like anybody's father.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I feel that we should look at our independence, each individual independence, than this father or grandfather image. And I also know that, as a matter of common sense, that if you make large claims, you also draw resentment. So I prefer to go about like every other person, every other writer, without a special title.
And does that mean that I guess what I'm asking is, do African writers, ought they to feel a sort of need to write political books and social books?
No, they don't need to. Nobody needs to do anything that they don't want to do. I've said somewhere that Things Fall Apart taught me to write. What I meant was that the situation in which that you're handling, if you see it clearly enough, will tell you how to set about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody else is going to be able to teach you. Now, people ask me, is it good to show my manuscript to other people so that get their advice? My answer is no. You are in for the duration. Don't expect any kind of lowering of the terms of imprisonment that you are going to have. You see, you are your own editor, and so it's yours.
I think that's very good advice for students.
Thank you.
Chinua Achebe, thank you very, very much for talking with me today. And congratulations on the 50 years.
Thank you.
In a moment, a young Nigerian novelist respectfully disagrees with Mr. Achebe. He is, too, the father of a generation.
Writers of my generation from Nigeria and from other African countries who, you know, we collectively are sort of the children of Chinua Achebe.
That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International, and WNYC Radio. Stay with us.